1 of Matthew 25, it says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go you out to meet him. And then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." So as we see from the previous chapter, in chapter 24 of Matthew, he's dealing with some of the same things, because a multitude of time. In verse 42 it says, 24:42 of Matthew, Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour the Lord doth come. And then in verse 44 he says, Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. And then in verse 46 he says, Blessed is that servant whom his Lord when he cometh shall find so doing. And as we see the previous chapter before here in Matthew, we learn that this parable is to teach the servants of God the necessity of being always ready for the Master's appearing. We need to be ready. And on Wednesday nights, I've been going through the book of 1 Thessalonians, dealing with the rapture, and the fact that we're going to turn over there just for a brief moment. I don't want to spend a lot of time, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we've been spending a lot of time there these last several weeks on Wednesday nights. But the fact of the matter is, he's dealing with the walk of the believer. He deals with that we need to have a walk of holiness. And that's dealing with our relationship between us and God. And then he goes on, a walk of harmony. And that's our dealings between us and our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to love one another. But then we see there in verse 12 of chapter 1 Thessalonians 4, that we need to have we need to walk honestly. And what does it say? Towards them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. We need to walk honestly in the fact that the world is looking at our testimony. And then he comes in verse 13 and 14. He says, But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. If you're without Christ, you have no hope. But if we have Christ, we have hope. Verse 14, it says, For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this is, we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So the big concern here was the believers at Thessalonica were worried about those who had died in Christ. They died believers. And what Paul is trying to encourage them from the word of the Lord is the fact is they he says, those who died in Christ will God bring with him, which is Jesus Christ. He's going to meet us in the air. He says, For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. We're not going to have no effect on them. Then he says, For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We're to be comforted in the fact that Christ is coming back for us again one day. We're to be comforted in the fact that those who had died before us are coming back with Christ. And why are they coming back? They're coming back to be reunited with their bodies. There's going to be a physical resurrection. And at that point, when we meet Christ, we're going to get new bodies because it says we're going to be like him. Praise the Lord, we don't have to deal with these aches and pains and dealing with the hardships we have to deal with. But we're dealing with this whole issue, or should I say fact of matter, we need to be ready. We need to be ready. And as we look at this passage today, we're going to put a title on it, Missed Opportunities. Missed Opportunities. We see there in Matthew 24:46, he says, "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." It was once said, they are always ready who are always doing his will. Those who are busy about the master's business are simply doing, are always ready. There are those people that are always doing something around the house and trying to keep things in order because they always want to be ready. Somebody comes knocking at the door. It's probably a lot of the older generation, a lot of the younger generation are not that way anymore. But we need to be ready. And the Bible says in James 1:22, as we looked at it in Sunday school, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. A good illustration that was used, a good wife may watch for her husband because she longs to see him. She stays at home. But if he, when he comes, finds the house untidy and the supper unprepared, would he be satisfied with her watching? No. These foolish virgins, as it talks about, there's five of them. There's half of them, there's ten of them total. But there's five foolish, five wise, represent those who have the appearance of being ready, but who will be found unprepared. And we look at these verses in verse 42 of chapter 24. Watch therefore, is to be awake, to be vigilant, to be alert. 24:44 is therefore be ye also ready. And then again that verse in 46 is, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. The question I want to pose to you today, are you ready? Are you ready for the Lord's coming? We're going to look at and see what God's word says about these five foolish virgins. The first thing we see there in verse 1, it says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And we see a blameless character. What do I mean by that? They were virgins. Their characters were without reproach. They were blameless in the sight of men. They were innocent. They were naive. They were stainless or chaste, pure, undefiled. They are the typical of a large class of professing Christians whose outward life and conduct are unstained with iniquity. Professing Christians who are blameless in the sight of men. They look like they're doing everything right. Do we not see people like that? They are those who are involved in many areas of Christian work. Their motives are never for the moment questioned. Remember, they appear to be doing that which is right on the outside. It's all about appearance. They're always very helpful. They tend to say the right thing. They're very courteous. They always are gracious. They're pleasant. They're agreeable. They're sympathetic to those around them. It's all about what it looks like. They have the appearance down pat, but they simply are professors and not possessors. So we can see their blameless character. You know, we see there in verse 1, they're virgins. But we also see there in verse 1, we notice their noble intention. They went forth to meet the bridegroom, as it says there in the last part of that verse, which took their lamps, they went forth to meet the bridegroom. We're going to learn a little bit more about these foolish virgins as we go along here. They see others going, so they go too. Have you ever been around a herd of cows? One starts going in one direction, and guess what? What happens? Another one starts going, another one, and then before you know it, the whole herd is going in one direction. That's what I'm talking about here. They go, they see others go, so they go. They have good intentions. They would like to see the bridegroom and to share the marriage feast. They make little to no sacrifice for the little hope that is in them. These type of people can still be found among us. They're religious people whose moral lives are beautiful. They seem to be doing all the right things, who have been good all of their lives, who never question their condition before God, nor even imagine that they must be born again, as it says in John chapter 3, verses 3, 5, and 7, where Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." Their intentions are always good, but they're blind to their own real need. They're very good about saying that the message was good, and then saying that it was good for others. They're really good at deferring the truth of God's word for themselves, but it was good for others. We must remember, good intentions pave the road to hell. We can have good intentions. We can always, "Well, I meant to do that," or "I meant to do this." But guess what? That doesn't get it done, does it? The third thing we see here, we see their blameless character, we see their noble intention, but we see in verse 3 that they were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Does that sound pretty foolish? Why would you take an oil lamp? You know what I'm talking about, a lantern. It'd be like taking one camping with you and taking no fuel with you. Or it had a little bit in it, but I thought I had enough. But you don't take none, you're not prepared. That's what these virgins did, is that they were foolish. They took their lamps, but they took no oil. No oil means that they could last for only a brief season. They would not go without their lamps. The lamps could be seen. See, it's about what's seen. It looks like everything's all right on the outside, but the invisible oil could not be seen. It was neglected. It was unnoticed. They were satisfied with an outward resemblance to what was real, while strangers to the Holy Spirit of promise. In the Scriptures, or should I say the Bible and God's Word, oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. We might fool our fellow man, but not God. In Romans chapter 8, I'll give you a moment to turn there. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we're going to look at a couple verses, three verses. Chapter 8, verse 9, 15, and then 16. I'm going to read down while you're turning, and then when you get there, we'll be looking at verse 9. It says, For they that are after the flesh do mind the things after the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, this is verse 5, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, verse 9, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. This is a resemblance. We look at these five virgins, and they took their lamps, but they had no oil for it. But you also have there in that chapter, if you look at that, there was five wise virgins, and they had oil. They filled their lamps. And see, they were ready. And then we see 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. It talks about us being a temple of the Holy Ghost. When we get saved, God gives the Holy Spirit to us. And as Christ says, he says, "I'm sending another comforter." We're not our own, it says there in 1 Corinthians 6, but we're bought with a price. Galatians 4, 6, it says, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." And then we're going to turn over to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Give you a moment to get there. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 and then verse 27. Actually, we're going to read from there all the way down. It says, "But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. For who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, and he is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. And if that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you." So he's talking about the Holy Spirit. "And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him." So he's talking about it, the Holy Spirit of God being our teacher. And then Jesus was talking about at the whim of the well in John chapter 4 and verse 14. He talks about giving us a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That's what the Holy Spirit is. It's a permanent thing. So we see their thoughtless neglect. They failed to be prepared. They failed to bring oil. They failed to get the oil to put in their lamps. They brought the lamps, but no oil. And then we see in verse 5 of chapter 25 of Matthew, kind of keep your finger there as we turn. It says, "While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept." They all slumbered and slept. We're going to see their helpless indifference. The bridegroom tarried, and they grew tired, and they fell into apathy or inactivity. They fell asleep. The waiting is a testing time for all. The time the bridegroom tarried was a time of grace and opportunity for the foolish virgins. They had the opportunity at that moment to go get their oil and be prepared. But guess what? They weren't. They fell asleep. Now was their opportunity to go and buy the oil they needed, but they slept. So let me ask you, are you prepared to meet the Lord? If you're not, what a tragedy. What a tragedy it will be. Our Lord has tarried more than 1,900 years. That's why we're waiting for the Lord to come back. What a long opportunity for lamp trimming. As it says there, it says they fell asleep, they slumbered and slept, and at midnight there was a cry, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. I don't know if you're familiar with an old lantern. They have that wick that comes up in there. I think we all, being from Montana, probably have known what a lantern is all about. But they have that wick in there, and you have to trim it every once in a while so it burns correctly. And that's what they were doing. They were getting ready for the bridegroom. They were trimming the wicks. They trimmed their lamps. Okay? They were getting ready. But we see here, when the wise sleep, that all 10 of the virgins slept, okay? The only thing good about the wise is they were ready for the bridegroom to come. But as we've seen there in the prior chapter, he says, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour the Lord cometh." Were they watching? No. So this is kind of a little chastening them in the fact is when the wise sleep, it's a no wonder that the foolish become unconscious of their danger. See, the wise were not there to warn them. There's been a quote, "What meanest thou, O sleeper?" Isaiah 21:11 says, "Watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night?" And back in the Old Testament times, and those times, they had a watchman that stood up and kept track of everything. They had walled cities and all that. And they were to watch for danger. And that's what God's telling us in his word as Christians. We need to be watching for the danger. We know of the coming danger. Why? Because the Bible tells us that one day the Lord's coming. And if he comes and you're not ready, it's going to be a tragedy. Are you warning the lost and dying world of the coming judgment? That day we must stand before the Lord. If we die without Christ, what a tragedy. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 says, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." Our responsibility as Christians is we need to be warning the lost. We need to be telling them about Christ. We need to be the watchmen for them. No wonder the foolish virgins were not aware of their danger, because they weren't told. But now we see in verse 8, as we move down, we've seen their blameless character, the fact that they were virgins. We see their noble intention. They went out even though they didn't have no oil for their lamps. We see their thoughtless neglect and the fact that they took their lamps and didn't bring no oil with them. We've seen their helpless indifference and the fact that they fell asleep. But then we see in verse 8, it says, "And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." We see their anxious request, a request that is futile. Why? Why do I say that? It says there, the midnight cry. The midnight cry is an awakening cry. Guess what? There will be many alarming discoveries made when Jesus comes. The midnight cry of warning is followed with a cry of alarm. Give us of your oil. It was a tragedy, wasn't it? They didn't have no oil. Even if they wanted to help, they could not. And I'm talking about the wise virgins. Why is that? Let's turn to Psalm 49. Psalm 49. Psalm 49, we're going to read verses 6 through 8. It says, "They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious and it ceaseth forever. None of them can by any means redeem his brother." So no matter what these wise virgins had, they could not help these unwise virgins, these foolish ones, in the fact that every one of us have to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of us are responsible to the Lord. And how do we know that? The fact of the matter is, see, the oil could not be borrowed. That's not the way it works. We can't depend upon our parents' salvation. We can't depend upon somebody else's salvation. We have to go to Christ ourselves for our own salvation, the salvation that He provides for us. But in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18 and 19, it says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers," not corruptible things, there's nothing we can do for salvation. But it says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." God had a plan before we were ever thought of. He knew mankind was going to fail, and He provided a way out to reconcile us to Himself through Jesus Christ. So we see their anxious request. See, the oil could not be borrowed. We cannot depend upon Bible reading. We cannot depend upon church going, helping those in need. We cannot be depend upon our giving, or baptism. Any of those things are things we do because we are Christians, but they're not things we do for our salvation. Only a personal relationship with Christ will work. And how do I know this? We're going to get to it here in a second. But in Luke chapter 11 and verse 13, Luke 11 and verse 13. Starting in verse 11, it says, "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" Verse 13 says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, to them that ask him?" Let's talk about salvation here. And then I want to turn back to the book of Mark in chapter 10. See, God's the only one who can help us. But in Mark chapter 10, we deal with the story, or should I say the parable of the rich young ruler. And through that, he comes to Christ and he asks him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" That's Mark chapter 10, verse 17. And Jesus said, "Well, if you keep he says, "Well, why do you call me good? Only God is good," which he was God in the flesh. But then he says, "Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these things I have observed from my youth." These are all things that he was able to do. But then, Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He was not willing to surrender to Christ. He was not willing. He was depending upon his riches to do what he needed to do. He went away sad, it says. One thing thou lackest. Well, let's go back to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. And we see, not only do we see an anxious request, they were asking to get oil from the wise virgins. We see in verse 10, we also we see an earnest endeavor. An earnest endeavor. They went to buy. What a fruitless effort. As they ran to the nearby village, wiping the sweat from their faces, but their earnestness does not save them. For while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, is what it says there. They went to buy, and the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. They were busy seeking while they should have been rejoicing. They should have been prepared, and they would have been in the marriage feast. See, men may use the right means, but at the wrong time. Those that were ready went in, and those that slept and missed their opportunity were getting ready. They were shut out. Hoping to be ready doesn't make them doesn't work when the bridegroom comes. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, it says, "Behold, now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation." Matthew 24:44 says, "Therefore be ye also ready." We need to be ready. But then we see the last thing we want to see here today in verse 11. While they went to buy I'm going to read verse 10 first. "The bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. After came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. And this says, Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein your Son of Man cometh." He says, "I know you not." Remember what I was talking about? I was talking about a personal relationship. Well, the last thing we see here, we see a fearful disappointment, don't we? The door was shut. And they said, "Lord, Lord, open unto us." See, they lost the opportunity. Why? Because they weren't ready. What a tragedy. You know why will be a tragedy? Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to look at verses 21 through 23. This is the danger of profession without faith. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto you, I never knew you. Depart from me, that ye that work iniquity. If we never establish a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, when it comes to that day when he comes back, it's going to be a tragedy, because he's going to say, I never knew you. See, a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is of a prime necessity for future fellowship with him. See, the five foolish virgins hoped to get in, but they were shut out. Out among this filthy and wicked world, whoever expected to be in, but their virgin names, in name only, did not save them. Only those who had met the bridegroom entered with him. Job chapter 22 and verse 21, it says, acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Remember what Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 says. It says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. What we see here today is we can learn from these foolish virgins is the fact that we need to be ready. Not only do we need to be ready, but we need to be saved. We need to trust Christ as our Lord and Savior. Because one day, we don't know when it's going to be. He says in chapter 24, Matthew 24, 36, he says, but of the day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. When the Father decides to send Christ back for the church, he'll be sending the bridegroom back to get the bride, and he's going to be expecting us to be ready. But it says there that they slumber and slept, all of them. The wise ones weren't warning the ones that needed to be warned. So what happened? There was a tragedy. They didn't, at the end there, it says the door was shut. And then it says, after came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. That's what's going to happen if we've never trusted Christ as our Lord and Savior. We're not prepared. If you walked out that door today, and if you don't know for sure that you're saved, it's going to be a tragedy, because you're going to, it says the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. If you've never trusted Christ, there's no hope, and you'll be cast into hell, and then hell, death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire, as we see in Revelation. There's not going to be no hope. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Let's pray.